Hello and welcome to the Majlis, Ready for Your Radio Liberties Current Affairs Podcast, focusing on Central Asia. I am Mohammed Tahir, the host of the Majlis and Ready for Your Radio Liberties Media Manager for South and Central Asia here in Washington, D.C. It takes only a spark to create a crisis in Kyrgyzstan. I don't know who said this, but I guess I heard this from one of our speakers in our previous episode, so that the quote really nails down what we are going to talk about today. And that has to do with an ongoing scandal centered around the exhibition and its content in Bishkek. The theme was, or is, to highlight violence against women. But apparently sounding innocent act, it created lots of reaction. As a result, Kyrgyz government got involved and the director of the museum where the event was held forced to resign because of what she said was a mounting threat. And the mounting threat was apparently coming from a nationalist group called Kyrkçuro. So everything about this discussion is kind of interesting. The unorthodox way of highlighting the theme, angry reaction, the intervention of the government, the alleged threat and the source of the threat, and the fallout and the ongoing debate. To discuss all these, I'm joined by Jana Areva, creator and the co-host of the exhibition, Zoya, one of the artists whose work was displayed in the exhibition, and the journalists Bermet Talant, originally from Kyrgyzstan, currently with Kyiv Post, and Bruce Panier, editor of Ready for Europe, Radio Liberty, Central Asia blog, Kishlok Awazi. Thank you, colleagues, for joining us today. And before we get into the fallout, let's start with the exhibition. Jana, what was this all about?
Well, so we decided to make Biennale, so the annual event, art event, which will tell about the problems which women face. And it was feminist event. It was sought as a feminist art exhibition. And we didn't actually expect anything, any reaction like that.
So the theme was, in fact, dedicated to 17 women who died tragically sometime.
It's a tragic story which happened 3 years ago in Moscow. 17 young women died in a fire in the print house. 14 of them were Kyrgyz citizens. So we decided to dedicate it to those women as a memorial. It was turning around this topic. So the topic of the exhibition was economical freedom of women.
Yeah, we are going to talk about the reaction that you mentioned earlier. So it was held where? The Fine Arts Museum?
It was held in the State Fine Arts Museum in Bishkek. And now ex-director of the museum was so kind to support us with this event.
Right. Definitely, we are going to talk about what happened to her. So about the content, walk us through some of the highlights. What were exhibited there?
So we had over 40 exhibits from 22 countries around the world. And usually it would be like most of the works would emphasize some of the issues which women face in their day-to-day life, like gender-based violence, domestic labor, like a huge spectrum of the topics.
And one of the art pieces, Zoya, let me come to you. One of the art pieces was Your Body Back, was an interesting piece of art. So how did you come up with that idea?
Well, you know that in Kazakhstan, where I live, and I mean, it's a worldwide problem, there is an epidemic of domestic violence. It's just happening all the time, everywhere. Doesn't matter how wealthy people are, a woman experiences that, beaten and abused by her husband or partner or whoever male of her family. And it's increasing incredibly. And I was thinking about it, like the question of gender socialization, because when they say the little girls how they should behave, and then the young women, and later they say all this, like, you know, programming things like be patient, if he beats you he loves you, and all this bullshit. They making perfect victim, actually, by raising boys with you should be strong, you should not cry, and all these stereotypes. They raising the abuser. So as a woman, if you follow the instructions of these classical traditional raising principles, you just becoming this kind of punching bag at the end, because you are a perfect victim. You are an object in the kitchen for some kitchen boxer. That was my general idea, that was what I wanted to talk about through that art object.
Yeah, the punching bag, right. So some people certainly got a different message from it, Zoya. So what did you hear from people who were there looking into this punching bag? What kind of reaction you got there on the spot?
Actually, it's lots of stories happening around that punching bag all the time. And there is three basic types of reaction. Two from men and one from women. I could really mention not once. Men objectifying it. So they just trying to touch her, you know, to imitate some frictions or something, or squeeze the breasts. You know, it's a punching bag in the shape of female torso, and it's written on her belly, ever must. So she has to, you know, serve everyone. And it's like paraphrase of Everlast logo, and I redesigned the Everlast logo. And they trying to beat her, but she isn't a real punching bag. She's very light, very subtle, very easy, and she's just jumping. They can't even feel, you know, the punch, because she's very light. And some women, they really understand this topic, and they have tears in their eyes. And there is a type of reaction from kids. They hanging her and say, "Mama," that's the funniest. I even have a photo of one of kids hugging her, and this is, I mean, so cute.
Yeah, I'm going to expand this discussion in a little bit. If Bruce, if Bermet, if you guys have any question to the organizers, please go ahead and ask. And I have a number of questions, and I don't like to dominate the discussion in the same time. Just to continue, let me get back to you, Jana. The content of the exhibition, it created lots of outcry there in Kyrgyzstan. And some people who were opposing this would say, you know, the content had nothing to do with violence against women. Like, they would give example of what, like a naked woman walking in the room, and then underwear hanged, and like the punching bag that we were talking about. What do you have to say about that?
But we have to understand that it's a contemporary art, and contemporary art has many shapes, and it's not only the classical paintings, or it doesn't have to be even a painting. So it could be a performance, it could be a video art. Besides those things that some people found provocative, there are lots of different other, very creative things. But on the other hand, what is in the art world supposed to be normal, it's like in the contemporary art, it's normal to have such performances. But I think it's not the reaction of the main audience which was targeted, because it's the reaction of ultra-right nationalists. We can't say that people didn't like it. It was just an outburst of some aggression against whatever. I think it's mostly against feminist actions, like feminist events in overall.
But it was not only these ultra-nationalists, Jana. The Kyrgyz Ministry of Culture sounded to me not really convinced what you are saying. And they were particularly find it provocative, the women walking naked in the hall. So what I'm saying is that it was not just only ultra-nationalists. Even the Kyrgyz minister was upset.
I guess it's better to ask Zoya, because Zoya was at the scene, mm-hmm. and she knows better what has happened there, like how people reacted to that.
Yeah, as a witness, I can say that there were no reaction, like, you know, stone throwing. The people were calm, they were just staring at her, and some people were not even staring at her. There were no crowd around her. No one was angry. No one was really harassed by it. So it was very peaceful and very nice. I was so excited that it's happening, and it's happening this peacefully without any scandal or something. And, you know, there were a pile of stones there. They could really throw a stone if they wished to do that. No one done it. So that was absolutely normal. And I was like, ooh, it's so nice, this wind of freedom, that Kyrgyzstan is such an open country that they can do these things and have this extremist in the same time. But it happened what it's happened lately.
I think, Bermet, you wanted to say something? Jump in.
Well, I don't care much about the reaction of Kyrgyzstan. I believe that the less attention they're given, the better. But what I found particularly worrying was the official reaction of the Ministry of Culture that decided to censor some of the exhibits in the name of morality and mentality and accepted the forced resignation of director of museum, Mira Jangarasheva. And we know that she was forced. She, like, before she handed in her resignation letter, she had been threatened, as well as the organizers of the exhibition. So the Ministry of Culture claimed that some of the exhibits contradicted the theme of the exhibition, which was women's economic freedom. But if we think, there is a direct link between economic freedom and gender equality. Economic freedom implies that women have equal job opportunities and can choose their careers. But can we talk about equal job opportunities when girls from very young age have to do household chores while boys can study? Can we talk about equal job opportunities when young women in their 20s, and I experienced that myself as well as my friends, when young women rejected a job because they are in the marriage age, because they are in their early 20s and employers think that they're going to get married, have kids, and leave the job? And can we talk about equal job opportunities when women don't go into certain careers because those fields are male-dominated? And why don't women don't want to go into those male-dominated areas? Because there's bro culture, there are sexist jokes, there's sexual harassment, there is objectification. Like, it is all interconnected. And I found particularly upsetting that the Ministry of Culture took sides with conservative traditional group.
Yeah, very much.
And it's very symbolic that this act of state violence against artists and female artists carried out during the International Week dedicated to fighting against violence against women. And few days ago, the government of Kyrgyz Republic, at the high level development, they said that they really support the gender equality principles on the forum of, I don't remember the name of the forum, but it was really happened a few days before that.
Yeah.
I believe it's the week of the UN 16 days against violence,
yeah,
right?
That's what I'm talking
about.
Yeah,
all is fine. But since we don't have a voice from the opposite camp here, so I have to play devil's advocate in this discussion. So I guess that they have no problem talking about economic inequality, economic freedom. I mean, the people who are opposing to this. Because the economic inequality is a topic. We are having this discussion everywhere around the world. But what they say is the problem is the way this message is conveyed. Do you understand where they are coming from, the position
that
they are coming
from? Well, the problem was with the nudity and female bodies, right? And any hint on women's sexuality. Like, one of the exhibits that was also banned, along with Zoya's work and Julie's performance, was an exhibit with women's underwear that was hanging along with other items of clothes. I view it as an attempt to police women's bodies and, again, shame women for their bodies. This is what we see.
Why do you think so, Behmet? Why you got this message from this reaction?
I think that it's becoming an annual tradition in Kyrgyzstan to sort of attack and threaten feminists every year. Like, last year, we talked about Zere, who came under fire for appearing in a bra in her music video. This year, we have Feminale for exposing women's bodies and nudity. It all comes to the shame. Like, women are shamed of their bodies. Like, as you remember, a couple of years ago, again, there was a scandal with the daughter of former president Almazbek Atambayev, Aliya Shagiva, who posted a photo of herself breastfeeding her child. And people found it shameful that she was showing a little bit of her breast. It all comes down to the general oppression of the topic of sex. Like, the sexuality education in schools is not encouraged. There's just no public discourse on the topics of sex.
Okay, Bruce, I want you also jump in here in the discussion. Especially, I'm trying to, as I said, highlight the feelings that the opposing party is expressing on this topic. You know, I was talking about earlier the position that they are coming from, the sensitivities that they are expressing. What's problematic here from their point of view?
Well, first, I understand where you're coming from, Mr. Tahir. I wouldn't want to be in your shoes and trying to be the devil's advocate here. I have a hard time with this anyway, because, of course, I was an art student when I was in college. And a lot of art, you know, you got the idea that it made a statement. It made people think about things that were going to happen or happening around them. And that was the whole point of doing it. I mean, there would be even term shock art. You know, it was supposed to shake you up and get you to think about things differently than you were used to thinking about that. As I've mentioned in previous programs, one of the unfortunate results of independence from when the Soviet Union fell apart was this new conservatism that came up. People were looking for, trying to find out what it meant to be religious, what it meant to be your own national group and things like that. And unfortunately, a lot of the solutions they found to that were very, very conservative and very male dominated. There was no doubt about it. I mean, if you look at, I have made the argument before that women have less rights now than they did when I was there in 1992 and 1993 when they were coming out of the Soviet Union. You know, I think it's incredibly unfortunate that an exhibit like this, which was supposed to get people thinking about the rights of women and the suffering that they have to go through regularly, was uprooted by a group that said they were offended by something that was going on. But in the meantime, they actually proved exactly the point that the art exhibit was supposed to be getting across, was that there was this conservatism that was really working against society. Mm-hmm. And they fed right into that. And as you know, some people are going to object to some kinds of art and some people are going to approve of it. But the government officials went along with that. Was very, very disturbing to me. You know, art is art. There's all kinds of different kinds of art. And I think it's up to people to, if they don't like something, you know, I wasn't a big fan of Impressionists. I never liked Picasso and all that kind of stuff. I don't go to the exhibits, right? That's my choice. I won't go to the exhibits. Other people like it. I understand it. That's fine.
So this brings this brings me to another question, then maybe it's open to everyone. So did this act, did this event contribute to the cause in a positive way?
Yeah, I think that it's actually like that this outburst of aggression has raised lots of questions which we have to answer. Because now even the members of parliament, like yesterday, we have a female member of parliament, Nikitenko. She made a really great speech about how we tend to neglect women's problems. And once we have such an exhibition where women tell about their problems, the reaction is actually not normal, or the reaction is too aggressive. And also ex-president Rosa Otunbayeva has spoken, and like lots of people have spoken about it. And now we have ongoing flash mobs and we have hashtags and lots of people are talking about this. So it actually worked out quite well. At least we raised those questions.
Thank you, Jana. But counter-argument to your optimistic interpretation about the outcome of this event, whether this advanced your cause in any way, would be to say that the ultra-nationalist groups got even more emboldened, given the fact that they got into the cultural ministry, secured a meeting with the minister and high-level officials, and get the minister react in their favor, ultimately got some of your exhibits censored, and also got the director of the Fine Arts Museum fired. So there is definitely two sides to this story when it comes to the success of this event in advancing your cause. So what I'm trying to say is this exhibition went beyond just creating a discussion in the country, which seems to be your argument in terms of success. Which brings me to my next point. So one of the striking comments I was reading in the director's statement, now the former director, explaining reasons behind her resignation, was that she said she was threatened, and she was clearly talking about the ultra-nationalist group Kırkçuru. And of course, this is not the first time we are hearing about this group. They appeared in a number of other occasions. So let's continue the Majlis podcast talking about this and many other questions very shortly. First, let me recap the debate that today on the Majlis podcast. I'm joined by Jana Araiva, creator and co-host of the exhibition, Zoya, one of the artists whose work was displayed in the exhibition, and journalists Bermet Talent, originally from Kyrgyzstan, currently with the Kyiv Post, and Bruce Panier, editor of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty Central Asia blog, Kishlok Owazi. I'm Mohamed Tahir, Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty's media manager for South and Central Asia here in Washington, D.C. And we are discussing the fallout from the recent controversial exhibition in Bishkek. So the threat, it looks like the director of a museum was resigned under pressure by the nationalist group called Kyrkçuru. At least this is what serviced to the media. Any other interpretation to this, Bruce?
No, I don't see how you can see any other interpretation of that at all. I mean, clearly she was threatened and she was pressured and she was moved out. You know, again, I find it hard to believe that when this issue came up in Parliament a couple of days ago, only one guy, and I'll name him just because I think he's a hero in there, but Johnny Bek Bakhtiev, who is from the Beer Bowl faction in Parliament, was the only MP that was willing to speak up and say this was a mistake that to try to run her out and it shouldn't be done, and the culture minister should reconsider any decision that he was making on that. But no one else would speak out about that. Clearly, she was run out of her position. Clearly, it was unfair. Mm-hmm. You know, this was an art exhibit. It was a legitimate art exhibit with mm-hmm. a statement. And it was endorsed by the UN. Mm-hmm. You know, it had backing of the UNDP. So I don't know how you can blame target one person mm-hmm. and say that we're going to fire you because we hold you ultimately responsible for all this. They knew what the art exhibit was about. They knew it was coming. It's shown in other places. Zoya, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't it in Kazakhstan just last year?
Zoya, the punching bag, was it exhibited in Kazakhstan last year?
I think it was the first one.
No, this was
Yeah. It was exhibited 3 times in Kazakhstan and 2 times in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Because I created this artwork in 2017, and the first exhibition taking place in Almaty, then in Astana, then in Almaty again, then in Germany 2 times, one after another.
So now we are talking about Zoya. Let me
and one of the exhibitions were held by our government, actually.
Okay. So now here we are talking about this threat to the director, as she says, and it's, of course, originates from the exhibition. So what kind of threats did you get in Kazakhstan when you exhibited that?
Me?
Yeah.
No, there were one, actually, he's very famous. I don't call his name for now. Mm-hmm. He was drunk on the opening, and he bit me this puncture bag so hardly that I needed to repair it. So that was the worst reaction I got in Kazakhstan. But for now, I got one unpleasant message from Kyrgyz citizen from Osh city.
What's that?
He's saying some, you know, the bullshit that you can't paint normal paintings, that therefore you using some cheating methods, and normal person would see mother in that punching bag and not the punching bag, and all the rest are weirdos, and you're weirdo too, and you have no talent, and all, you know, all this bullshit mm-hmm. they're always telling you in private messages.
Jana, what kind of reaction you got, reaction or retaliation, whatever the nature of that is, because you and Zoya and all the other members were the backbone of this exhibition?
I didn't get any reaction because I was only in the narrative part, the concept of the thing. But I think that my colleague Alden Kapalova had lots of threats through the.
Can you talk about the nature of those threats that you are talking about, please?
Well, the threats we get during such outbursts from people, and I'm not sure that those people who are threatening are actually real people. I have a feeling they're actually like trolls. I can talk about the reaction we got in March, after the 8th of March. It was usually something like, we're gonna kill you, we're gonna rape you, something like lots of things about raping.
So those threats never came true, right? And it was just a threat and no physical action was taken as a result of those threats.
After 8th of March, I got lots of threats, and actually we reported them to police. Mm. But those people, I mean, their accounts didn't seem very real.
Mm, okay.
But I don't know about other people. Like, I mean, I cannot say about the threats other people got.
Mm.
That was my...
Okay, so Bermets, one of the, as I was saying earlier, one of the comments of the director of the, now ex-director of the Fine Art Museum, in which she says something in the line of Kirkçuru's influence, she says she was surprised to find out that the group was in fact running the ministry or the country. I guess her comments were to highlight the growing influence of this group in the country. Anything to add into this?
Well, the Ministry of Culture said that the decision was made independently, but I believe that it sends a clear positive signal to groups like Kırkçuru or anyone who has the same views on women. And in a broader context, the attack on Feminale is not only attack on women or on this particular art exhibition or on artists, it's also an attack on Kyrgyzstan's freedom of expression and very much cherished freedom that we're very proud of in the region. Last year, I wrote a story for Culver Journal about three female art curators that have been driving sort of transformation of Bishkek into a contemporary art hub in Central Asia. And over the last few years, the popularity of cultural events and art events has been growing in Bishkek and the National Museum of Fine Arts. I mean, when I was growing up, it was hard to imagine queues to get into the National Museum of Fine Arts. But now we see international exhibitions like Feminale being hosted. There was a big event, Night at the Museum, which has grown into a massive annual art festival that takes place around the city now. There is Hasan Bey Center, there are privately run art galleries, there is Ololo House that has an art studio. So Bishkek has a thriving art scene, I would say. And I was told that artists from the neighboring countries like Uzbekistan or Tajikistan have praised this freedom of expression in Kyrgyzstan. And I don't know, maybe Zoya can attest. So it's really disheartening to see that the Ministry of Culture that is supposed to support and develop the art and the museums and the galleries actually resorted to a very arbitrary decision to censor. Ah, and I forgot to mention that contemporary art in Bishkek is a very female-dominated sector, in my opinion, because in November 2018, yeah, it was last year, Bishkek hosted the first Central Asian Forum of Art Managers. And out of 60 attendees from all five countries in the regions, they were all curators running state museums and art galleries. Only three were men. And I think it says a lot about the state of contemporary art and art in general in the region.
Right. Bruce, coming back into this influence of Kirkçuru, I mean, again, the junction in which their influence might play some role, like the statement or the decision or whatever came out from the Cultural Ministry of Kyrgyzstan about this specific exhibition was followed by a meeting with the Kirkçuru activists and the minister, correct? So what does it tell you about the influence of this group? And again, as I was talking about, and this is not the first time we heard their name in Kyrgyzstan.
No, sadly, it's fairly clear that they have some connections with people in the government. You know, I don't know if they're being used as a tool or if there are people in the government who are just sympathetic to their kind of views. But, you know, this group, it shouldn't be allowed to do many of the things that it does do. And yet it's tolerated. At most, they get a very light warning for this kind of stuff. But as you said, they even get to meet, you know, after having orchestrated this whole thing and threatened. Certainly, you know, if it wasn't someone from that group, it certainly... these threats were certainly something that group approved of, you know, and that they would be welcomed into ministries and able to meet with officials without receiving really a stern lecture instead. That's what they, you know, that what they should be told is that this is a country where everyone's equal, you know, and while you're welcome to your views, certainly threats are not permitted. That's far beyond the pale. We're willing to listen to your...
Actually, I have a list of constitution points, articles where they violated. If you want, I can read it.
Go ahead.
Okay. The actions, some of them are a little bit shortened, but I have exact number of article and paragraphs, so you can check it. So according to Constitution of Kyrgyz Republic, the actions of religious groups aimed at inciting social disorder are prohibited. Article 4, paragraph 5. The state and its bodies serve the whole society and not some part of it. Article 5, paragraph 1. No association or no individual has the right to appropriate power in the state. Article 5, paragraph 2. No one may be discriminated against on the basis of sex, political or other beliefs.
Yeah.
Article 16, paragraph 2. The established right to freedom of thought and opinion is not subject to any restriction. Article 20, paragraph 5. Everyone has the right to liberty and security of person. Article 24, paragraph 1. Yeah. Everyone has the right to privacy, protection of honor and dignity. Article 29, paragraph 1. And the Constitution explicitly prohibits the promotion of national, ethnic, racial, religious hatred, gender, or other social superiority, calling for discrimination, hostility, or violence.
Right.
Article 31, paragraph 4. And everyone is guaranteed freedom of all types of creativity, Article 49, paragraph 1. And the state only supports the traditions that do not infringe on human rights and freedoms, Article 37, paragraph 1. So you see the amount, and it's not all.
Yeah,
definitely.
I mean, I don't have this article in front of me, so I really don't have the tool to counter what you are saying, and I'm sure you are saying what the Constitution says. But there is other aspect of life, other reality on the ground, Jana. Yes, Constitution is on your side, and I'm sure majority of people are on your side. But there are people who are also not with you on this. So what I'm thinking is, do you think you are not ahead of your time in doing all these things the way you do it?
Well, there should be. Saying that we are ahead of the time is not right, because it's actually the time. Because when else should we act? Like, we cannot wait for women's rights to be accepted until, like, for next 10 years. We already have, like, really bad situation in our country and in the region. I don't speak only about Central Asia. I speak about all the post-Soviet countries and, like, main part of the world. And we wait now, we will lose precious time. And it's not about... So, as Bruce said, and I really strongly agree with him, if you don't like impressionists, you just don't go to their exhibitions. And if you don't like contemporary art, if you don't like feministic art, you don't mess with it. You just say, okay, we have all equal rights. We have a right of expressing ourselves. Those artists have a right of expressing themselves. If a ultra-right or extremist group wants to say something, they don't need to be aggressive. And government backing them up is, it comes to me, like, in my opinion, it's some sort of flirting with pro-Islamic audiences and, or like, traditionalist audiences. Because when they were talking about the Feminale event, they were pronouncing some things like we should prohibit abortions. Abortion, right for abortion, is something that all the women around the world are fighting throughout 20th century and even nowadays.
Yeah.
Or prohibiting some other rights of women. So it's kind of Gilead thing if you've watched The Handmaid's Tale. And it's very...
Yeah. Thank you, Jana. I think we also need to be wrapping up the discussion here. But yes, it caused lots of discussion, arguments, counter-arguments. And I think we will continue talking about this issue related to Kyrgyzstan. Earlier, as Bermet, you mentioned, we had a discussion about when Zera released the song, which was kind of unconventional in Kyrgyzstan. And we had a discussion about when the incident with the young girl Brulay happened. So I think it became kind of a trend that we will come back to this topic once in a while in Kyrgyzstan. But again, I ask the same question that I asked to other organizers in our previous majlis. With that, I will end the discussion here. So, Jana, if you were to have this event again, would you do it in the same way?
Definitely, because the freedom of expression should be held protected. And if it were again, we wouldn't change anything, because we have a right to express our needs, we have the right to express the issues, and my colleagues totally have my back on it.
And Zoya, what's your opinion on that? If you were to have it again, would you do it anything differently?
I wouldn't change the single thing, and I would add some more performances, actually, nude and not nude, and maybe do something between like producing art and performances, even more provocative. I mean, stickers with nipples.
Like, yeah, I need to
so much about the nipples, which is all around, like sticked over with nipple.
Yeah, Bermet Bruce, these girls are on fire. So what would be your suggestion? And if they were to have it again, is there any recommendation that
are going to have it again after 2 years. It's like biennial, so we are now preparing for the one which is coming up in 2021.
So Bermet and Bruce, if they were to have it again, is there anything you would wish them to have differently, Bermet?
No, I think it's been a great initiative.
Given the reaction and all these things?
No, but the reaction also helped with a little bit of publicity. I mean, it made it into international news, and we see that all the progressive international communities on the sides of women, because everyone understands the demands of time and there is a whole women empowerment Me Too movement. So I think it's been great. And just even the fact that we, at this podcast, we talk so often about women's issues in Kyrgyzstan would be probably unimaginable in a lot of other parts of the world. So I think it's great that we're talking about that.
Right. Any final thoughts, Bruce?
If you look back at the reviews that people who are now famous artists and composers received when their works were debuted years ago, you will find many of them that received heavy criticism and probably the same kind of threats, and yet now they're revered. You would think that people would learn from this. And like I said, everyone has their own taste. I can appreciate that. But you have to respect that other people might like something that you don't like. Yeah. And ultimately, the goal of an art exhibit like this is to get people thinking about what's happening in their society. And if you don't believe in that, then at least consider for a moment that other people do believe in that.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. With this, unfortunately, we have to end this episode of the discussion. Thank you very much, Bruce Panier, editor of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty Central Asia blog, Kishlok Owazi. Big thanks goes to Jana Araiva, creator and co-host of the exhibit in Bishkek, Zoya, one of the artists whose work was displayed in the exhibit, and Bermet Talent, originally from Kyrgyzstan, a journalist currently works with Kyiv Post. Thank you very much, colleagues, for your time and touch today.
Thank you.
And this is it from me, Mohammed Tahir, Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty's media manager for Southern Central Asia. Please join us next week. Until then, bye-bye.